Oh my god.
Yes.
So awkward. I was supposed to open the podcast and welcome everyone, and I decided to have a little dance party. I was just doing my own thing, and I turn around and everyone's looking at me to get us going. Well, welcome to the Family Podcast, Table Talk with Rookie's Family. We have five people in studio: Mom, Sophia, Gabe, Dad, myself, and then of course Matthew is on phone with us all the way from Boston. Matthew, you had a pretty nice day yesterday out there.
Even better one today. Ah. I'm staring outside to a 66 and sunny.
Gosh. What?
How does that happen?
Rude.
It's insane. It's so nice. It's very, you cannot get trapped though. You can't.
Yeah.
You have to remember, it's still January 12th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be thinking that you're going to, it's all springtime. So you got to keep your mind hard.
Still, what fun. Everyone must be out walking around the city.
I've never seen more people outside.
I believe it.
Even during the summer, there's nowhere near this amount of people. Everybody's just been cooped up. And so apparently everyone is just living outside now.
Because this is such a gift. You know, everyone knows it's going away. So you kind of view this is a gift. I've got to get out there and enjoy
it. Right.
It's like an epiphany moment.
No, it's
not.
I
went to the farmer's market yesterday, and you honestly couldn't move because there were so many people.
That same farmer's market we went to?
Yeah, Haymarket.
That's open year-round.
Oh, it is?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh,
they didn't have zucchini.
Oh, that's weird. Zucchini are abundant here. No, we've got tons of zucchini here.
Are you
a single vendor.
Are you going to make bomb zucchini meatballs?
I don't know. I've made noodles.
You need to make the zucchini meat.
Some sweet potatoes and some squash, and I'm going to zoodle those, too.
Oh, yeah.
Zucchini meatballs are disgusting.
They're really good.
No, they're not disgusting. They are different, but I expected a really dry, like more of a bread-like. I liked them.
Well, I don't know why you would expect that, because zucchini holds a lot of water. But it's very challenging to get enough water out of them in order to make the meatball.
But I meant from the way they were presented when they came out of the oven. I thought they were going to be dry, but they were not, and they had flavor.
It's like salty
poop. I
kind
of wish that they were dry. I liked them crunchier. Well, I feel like if you put them in the oven for longer,
you can bake it longer. Then.
Yeah, when things are crunchy. Well, I think also they were very moist. So, like, if you were expecting to bite into a regular meatball that had meat and you bit into this, it would be like, oh, it's a different consistency.
I think McLaren was the only one that thought that, because no one was like, oh, this doesn't seem like a meatball. But everything McLaren's like, if you're thinking it's a meatball, it's not a meatball. It's like, thanks. It doesn't look like a meatball. I'm not thinking it's a meatball.
Technically, it's a zucchini meatball. So
it's not. It's a zucchini ball because a meatball is made of meat.
You didn't listen to what I was saying. So
what other balls
do
people know about?
All right.
Sophia.
You should explain, Mom, what you did so people listening.
Softball. Oh, we can post it. We'll post the recipe.
Okay, but just give us a quick.
You grate the zucchini and you mix it up with some ricotta cheese, an egg, breadcrumbs, spices.
And you have to drain it or you get a lot
of
the moisture.
The biggest part is when you grate up the zucchini, you have to let it sit in the colander for a while. And then you put it in a dish towel and just keep squeezing out the water.
Okay.
I really did that for about 15 minutes.
You made those?
I saw the towel.
Yes, Gabe.
Oh, now I feel bad.
Yeah,
rude. You should. I really thought you were pretty aggressive on me.
I thought you bought them.
No, I made those, and it was also very difficult with my arthritic hands to keep squeezing those.
In that case, they were very good.
Thank you, dear.
Wow, that's sycophant of the day, huh?
Jeez.
All right, well, anyway, so we had, that was eating healthy this week. That was kind of fun. Too bad you couldn't find zucchini, but I'm not feeling bad for you that you had to go through the farmer's market when it was 66 degrees out. That's pretty good deal.
Yep. I wouldn't feel bad for me either.
Sorry. I hate to open this debate again. I really, because I'm very anti this
pro
debate.
Or anti-Trump? What's call us now?
The date.
It is the decade date. The decade
boy.
Debate.
No.
We had a listener who emailed us, and this is from Keith.
Keith's wrong.
No, just wait. Keith said technically both sides are right. Because
no.
Just wait. he really knows his stuff, and it's kind of, some of it's over my head. But his first point is there's no year zero. So this would be dad's argument. And essentially he says that because there is no year zero way back when, in order for our previous decade to consist of a full 10 years, our new decade has to start in 2021. Because if you go back to year 1 BC, and that year the sundial struck midnight and the date January 1st in that year, 1 AD, there was no year zero. Sorry.
How do we know that?
Yeah, I can.
Wasn't that the zero year going from BC to AD?
What was before 1?
At this point, why do people care?
Let's hear the email because they're.
So he's saying that if you agree with dad that there is no year zero.
Okay.
Because this means that the first decade of the AD era was not completed until years 1 through 10 had fully passed, making the next decade start on January 1st, 11 AD.
Okay. So that's my argument.
That's your argument.
Okay, what is the
However, and his next point says the 80s were the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. And so this would be everyone else's debate. When we talk about he's using the 80s as an example, we mean 1980 to 1989.
Yes.
The Roaring 20s, same thing.
20 to 29, okay.
Even though it's not mathematically correct, a decade starts with the year number of zero and ends in the number 9.
Damn.
I'm raising my clasped hands in victory.
He's
saying, left and right.
He's saying
that's against yours right there, dear.
That one was against yours.
Right.
Huh?
That's,
Dad just agreed with
us. No.
Thank you, Keith.
No, I'm saying that second reasoning proves that mine was correct.
Oh, God.
Okay,
no.
Let's not start this again. And I have thought about this actually a lot. But I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to talk about it.
Well,
so let's move on to the next one.
Is to say something. You're on a podcast.
But we do appreciate the email and feedback about the topic.
How does Keith close it out?
Thank you, Keith.
Your dad
he says,
is right.
This seems to be one of those arguments where everyone gets to be right. Technically, the 80s didn't end until midnight on 12/31/1990. But when we talk about the era, we mean 1980 through 1989. That's why Hammer Time is a 90s thing.
Word to your mother.
Hope that helps, Keith.
Hammer Time.
All right, Keith. Well, thank you.
Keith, it doesn't help. We like to either be a winner or a loser
right.
in this family.
This is like kissing your sister.
So, I guess it ultimately comes down to which... Well, no, that was just going to be such a stupid thing to say.
Maybe don't reassess. Let's just leave it at that. Keith, thank you for listening and thank you for participating. If you have a comment for us to tell us how stupid we are or how our math is off, you just send it right through, find us on Table Talk. And
podcastfamily@gmail.com.
Thank you.
podcastfamily@gmail.com.
Everyone's face went into panic.
Okay, I just want to say that this week we also celebrated Gabriel's birthday. And he is 15 now. Yep. Yay, Gabe.
Thank you.
He's going to be driving soon,
right around the corner.
We'll try to let you know when he's out on the roads, people.
Yes. But anyway, we did something really fun, and I know we already posted a photo, I believe, on social media, and you can check that out probably if you didn't see it. But we went to a local restaurant, and they had the outdoor domes, they call them, I think, not igloos, but it kind of looks like an igloo.
Mm-hmm. Like a bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, and we had dinner in one of those, and it was really fun. Highly recommend that people search those out and do it.
Maybe don't go when it's 12 below like we did the other night, but it was still warm
was
and
fine.
Cozy.
No, I was not cold at all.
No, we all had our jackets off. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was super fun, and their atmosphere inside, it's so nice. They give you a speaker that you can hook up your phone to, the lights you can hook up your phone to, they have blankets. Games.
Space heater.
Yeah.
It was really cool being
cozy.
At a restaurant and yet you were alone with just our family.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. I would like to do that one more time.
We were saying when we got there that we felt very self-important. Like we were on top of the world because we had this own space at the restaurant.
Surrounded by peasants.
Yes, I believe them.
No,
I think they're the podcast family. They're coming in. Yes, right here.
I didn't know if it was pheasants or peasants, so I took a chance there, and I was right.
Because people inside the restaurant then are like, well, where are they going? And then they are watching you in the igloo from inside the restaurant. And it is kind of a weird feeling. But you do, like, feel, yeah, we're
McLaren
cool.
was loving it.
I was loving
McLaren
life.
McLaren loves attention.
Yeah.
And wants so to be, mean. Like, cutting edge and what's up? We're the hippest.
Yes.
I do like that.
Also, I would like to mention in January, I had my 19th and a half birthday on January 5th. So...
Happy
not
half.
To take away your mm-hmm. shine, Gabe, but I also had a birthday moment in January, and
well, January.
How does it feel? What do you,
no
do you feel
one,
better?
I mean, said anything to me, but I should have made it a bigger deal.
You have to.
So I learned next year that I'm going to have a party.
Wait till you see what happens June 23rd.
I got Sophia informed me of this today. I got my first level 2 detention at my grade school. Ooh. 2 years ago.
Today,
what was it for?
Smoking.
You know.
Yeah. What'd you do?
That Well, we were wrongly accused, I will say that.
Right.
We
always wrongly accused.
It was. And we broke a pew in mass, but it was on an accident.
Oh.
So you weren't wrongly accused, you actually broke the pew.
No, yes, the pew was broken, or the kneeler was broken. But we didn't try and break the kneeler. It broke, and then we started to die laughing.
Oh,
right.
Oh.
It was probably more to do with your reaction to the fact that it broke instead of saying,
it's funny.
Mrs. Whoever was your teacher, I'm so sorry that the kneeler broke when we all kneeled on it.
Because it's one of the times where it's like, I was sitting next to my friend, and me and my friend at this point, we were two big boys. I'm sure that had some factor, but I don't know.
Huh.
And now I don't know what I was going to say.
The kneeler just gave out.
Yeah, the kneeler just gave out. And it's when you're in mass, everything is 100 times more funny.
Yes.
If it was like Toots not during
funny.
Mass.
Sorry,
yeah.
Father.
And we were just there, it wouldn't have been that funny, but it was mass. Like, you can't talk, you can't look at each other, you can't laugh.
You can't toot.
Yeah.
Mass giggles are the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The worst is when you're an altar boy and you get the giggles and you're doing a funeral.
Oh, sad.
That is really hard.
Not tuned in to being an altar
server. If you're
up
there and something happens and you start to giggle and people are crying, and there is no escape. You are praying for the repose of that soul, but also trying to not to...
Yeah.
It's really,
well,
that
so
happened once
awful.
Or twice.
Because once you hear the person next to you start to giggle a little bit,
100%.
Then it's just contagious and you cannot control
it
yourself.
It might not even be a toot. It might be like stomach gurgling.
Oh my God.
They know lunch is next.
You'll make eye contact with someone and you'll be like, oh God. Like, or in our eighth grade year, we sat with the second graders, and the kid next to me was with one of my friends. And he had a cuddling problem. So
he sat next to the wrong guy.
He would try to like cuddle my friend, and my friend did not like kids. He's like, get this away. And
get
he
this
would
away.
Yeah. He would like curl up next to him and like lay on him. He'd sit there like, I don't know what to do. And
that's when you just need to run out of there and you cover your mouth like you're gonna go throw up.
Oh.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, Mass was, Father Jenga would probably say you should pay attention to what's going on during the Mass, but sometimes you get a little distracted.
Wow.
Okay. How do we get to that? Level 2 detention from Gabe.
Yep.
Because Sophia was going on a rant about herself.
All right.
I'll steal the show. My article today talks about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle leaving the British royal family. Mm. So tomorrow, January 13th, Prince Harry is going to be meeting with some of the members of the British royal family, including Charles and William and Queen Elizabeth, to talk about them exiting.
Wow.
Yeah, wait, who's leaving the family?
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have left the royal family.
Well,
They have stepped back from their royal duties.
Wow.
I think she might not be enjoying this as much, and she wants to be...
No, it's him.
free.
I think it's both of them. From
you
the article,
you killed my mom. I don't want you to kill my wife too.
Oh,
I have not seen that. Holy crap.
Yeah, wait, where did you see?
That's not a quote, but that's what his interview was. One of the interviews he did was basically like, the British tabloids are so ruthless. Look what you did to my mom. I'm not letting that happen to my family.
Okay. I thought he said that to the queen. He said it to the media too. Okay. Like, thank you.
Is the queen his grandma?
The queen's got to go. She sucks.
Oh, the queen
is his
grandma.
Well, those are tough words.
She's lousy.
She's 100 years old.
Well, here's what you have to think of. This is all she knows. This is how she was raised. And yes, there's certain proper protocol to follow, and that's the only thing she knows. So when somebody says, I don't want this, she's going to be offended, number one. She's going to be sad, and she's probably going to try to fight it a little bit. Well, like, what was in the crown? Who left? Her brother or somebody left.
I don't watch the crown.
And then he came back. He wanted to come back, and she's like, well, you left.
Well, so I think it was her father's brother. Wasn't it?
Maybe that was it.
And he was supposed to be the king, and he stepped back, and then she was forced to become the queen at a very young age.
I think that's 18, a different. I also think that's completely different. Like, if he was in line for the throne,
exactly. That's
way different than he's never going to have the throne. He's very far down the line. Yeah. So they said, this is a quote from one of their friends, that they want to step back and become financially independent, so they don't want to take money from their royal family. And they want to
getting a job.
They want to split their time between the United Kingdom and North America. It says this geographic balance will enable us to raise our son with an appreciation for the royal tradition into which he was born, but also providing our family with the space to focus on the next chapter. So
I also like that what they're calling this, Megxit.
Megxit, yeah, I didn't hear that. Right now, Prince Harry is sixth in line for the throne.
Who's first?
Charles.
Oh.
Because Charles,
he's going to die.
William, George, Charlotte, Louis, and then Harry.
Yeah.
And then,
because
of course,
all of William's kids come before him.
Yep.
Wild.
Right. And then, of course, when you roll her down, you get number 54, James Ogilvy, who probably, you know, goes to the bar and says, well, you know, I'm in line to the throne. I'm number 64. If they're all wiped out at a picnic, I'm all set to go.
Also, going along with this, the Wax Museum has removed Harry and Meghan from the royal display.
They will
still be displayed in the Wax Museum, but they will no longer get to stand with...
In America?
The royal family.
No, they have one there, too.
They're part of the family.
Right. Yeah.
That's weird.
But remember, over there, the throne is multiplied by 500 what we have here. We pay attention. They are absolutely infatuated with it, and they don't leave it alone. So,
well, but part of it is they have an investment in this family.
True.
You know, like, people were mad because, you know, they're saying 2 years ago, we just paid for your wedding.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And now you're turning around and you're not going to do anything for us.
Well, also, too, it says on Saturday, Meghan Markle inked a deal with Disney, which will also help the organization Elephants Without Borders. But there is nothing that's been leaked about what she signed with them for, just that she has a deal on the table
with
Disney.
See, and I think that's part of it. She is an established woman on her own.
Yeah.
She's not a young girl. She didn't come into this fresh out of college. She had a career. She's given up a lot for this. And now she has the husband. She has the baby. But she still wants to be her.
Right. Yeah.
She's not a royal.
This hasn't been her life.
I also think that it says a lot about Harry, though. The fact that, like, he obviously really loves her to say, you know what? Yeah, we can step back. If you're that unhappy, I love you, and we can step back and we can do this.
I love the fact, and I attribute that to his mother, Princess Diana, who was one of the first to shield these boys from that upbringing, and that's why the queen was so annoyed by her, because she didn't follow all of the protocol. She followed protocol, but not all of it. And then when they got divorced, you know, then Diana was more I'm really just going to be try to be regular and not have to follow these rules.
Diana's style also, though, is just unreal. Her outfits are goals.
Sophia, people went head over heels for her in all across the world.
But like, even when she wasn't trying, like, she's just like effortlessly gorgeous in every outfit she was in.
The other thing is, I don't even know why the Brits would be angry about Meghan not being happy there, because they've done everything they can to make her unhappy. Yeah. I mean, she can't do anything right. And they are attacking.
And then all her family drama, everyone's always on her back for, oh, you, all of this. When, who really knows what happened? Because you're not in their family and you hear one thing, and I know her dad's crazy, but yeah, they have not been welcoming to her at all. So
easy for us to say sitting across the pond.
Yes. But that being said, we'd like to come and visit there anytime.
Ultimately, let them be. It doesn't affect me, but if they want to leave, go right ahead. I watch Suits. I love Meghan Markle on it. So that's where my position stands.
All right. That sounds like a plan.
Thank you.
Am I next?
Nope. Yeah, Matthew. Yeah.
It's you.
Okay, perfect. I picked an article, and this is very surprising. It has to do with longevity and how long you live, shortened lives. Of course, smoking and obesity have an impact on how long people live. But researchers at the University of California, San Diego School of Medicine just sent out a study looking into loneliness in elderly adults. And what they noticed is there appeared to be an epidemic of loneliness among adults and, of course, senior living, retirement communities. And they wanted to find out, you know, how does this impact everybody?
Yeah.
According to the study, 85% of the interviewed residents reported moderate to severe levels of loneliness. But they say loneliness rivals smoking and obesity in its impact in shortening lives, Dr. Philip Jesty said. It's a growing public health concern, and it's important that we identify the underlying causes of loneliness from the senior's own perspective so we can resolve it and improve the overall health, well-being, and longevity of our aging population. It goes on to give all more stats and so forth. He also said loneliness is subjective. Different people feel lonely for different reasons. Despite having opportunities and resources for socialization, there is not a one size fits all a topic. That being said, it really, my dad, you know, lives alone, and he lives in a senior living place, and we were texting back and forth yesterday during the football game, and he got a little aggressive. I don't think he's listening to this podcast. I don't know if he listens. I showed him how to do it. I don't know, but I'm not speaking ill of him. This is just fact. And I attribute his aggressiveness yesterday to being lonely, being by himself watching the game. I visited him a couple times last week and dropped some stuff off for him, and he's always happy and cheerful, but I think too,
for people, and I know that you said it's different for everyone, but I feel like we as kids think that they're living in this building full of people and they can go to the social area, but that doesn't solve loneliness for everyone, because a lot of people are lonely if they don't have their family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's family that makes you feel less alone. The friend or acquaintance doing a puzzle is someone there, but it doesn't feed your soul.
Like, you could be in a room crowded, full of people, but still feel really lonely.
That's very true.
And I think also with the whole family component, it's because your family knows so much about you and like knows your interests and can ask you all these questions, where if you are old and maybe your mind is kind of slipping a little bit and you're trying to become friends, what can you remember about them? You know, you don't really know a lot about where they've come from unless you're meeting pretty much around the clock and you are together inseparable.
Right. Or you're surrounded by people that are like eating the puzzle pieces or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Matthew, what about you? You went from living with five people in a busy household. And you're not living alone, but you're living, you know, with Brannick, and you're alone at work. Do you feel, maybe you're too busy and don't think about it, to be lonely?
See, I'm also a person that's like, I don't mind being alone. Like, I could live without a roommate, too. Like, I don't really need... I feel like I don't need, like, too much human interaction. Obviously, you guys will take it like, oh, that means you don't miss us.
Yeah.
No, but...
I thrive when I'm alone.
I feel like it gets... I'm still, like, around people all day, and I have people to talk to that know me and whatnot. I can see being in a, like, an old person's home where people don't necessarily, like, know you or know your family or know your background. It's a whole different thing. Even if you have one person that has, like, a general sense of who you are, where you came from, mm-hmm. I think that it goes a long way. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. I have, like, Brannick and Haley and whatnot out here, so it's
well, easy
because I have a reputation with them, whereas if you were just in a home with no one that knows you, I feel like that would just heighten it a lot more.
And you also, you're working, though, so, I mean, I guess that's a major difference, so it's not really comparable, I guess. That was unfair of me because... You know, a grandpa, he watches Westerns and he does puzzles and he'll read and then he'll hop on his scooter and go to the store. And that's, you know, that's his day.
Yeah.
Every day. There's no weekend. You know, that's.
There's at the University of St. Thomas, there's a kid. He's a year or two younger than me. I met him through the entrepreneurship school, though. His business it was a virtual reality business. And his like mission essentially was help old people with dementia and help old people with loneliness.
Okay.
So he would essentially bring systems and sell systems to, I think that's how it works, sell systems to like nursing homes. Old people's like family members and whatnot. So say an old person lives in, one of his examples was an old person lives in Minnesota, but her family is in, or she grew up in Florida or something.
Okay.
They can have like a space mapped in Florida and create it into a virtual reality thing. So she can like experience it again in the virtual reality and be able to see that and be able to see
interesting
places she had been in her past or places she had lived, stuff like that, where it helps with dementia because it like, I guess, keeps things familiar.
Right.
And then it also just helps people kind of connect with wherever they came from. But it was a cool business. And I think he's still doing it. I don't remember what it's called. His name's Enzo.
That sounds really cool.
That sounds really cool.
The tech and the old people are all like, whoa, what?
Yeah, the training process would be pretty funny. Here, put these on, and then what do I do? Oh, wow. I never thought about loneliness. It's obviously a sad thing, but shortening your life, though, is really, I mean, that's when it becomes serious, if they're comparing that with smoking and obesity.
Well, because I think you give up.
Yeah, like,
there's no reason
sad.
If you don't have anyone that, like I said before, feeds your soul and
what are you living for?
Gets you just give up.
Exactly. What's the point?
It is tough because it is very subjective. It's not like, hey, if you're smoking, stop smoking.
Yeah.
Right.
For obesity, be healthier.
Right.
But it's like loneliness. I mean, what are you gonna? It's not like an easy fix. Like
make some
I said in that article, it's subjective too. People are lonely for different reasons.
Well, and what makes it hard is if you do have family, they have their own life and are doing a million things, and then it's hard for them to always get to see you. I mean, Grandpa lives pretty close to us, but that's also factored in, like, oh my gosh, how do you, I mean, yeah, you can make time, but like if you have a busy schedule, it's a hard thing to do.
Well, look at Grandma. I mean, Grandma lives alone, but is constantly busy. So I don't, she doesn't ever seem to be lonely.
I feel like an ideal situation, though, is for one of the kids to have the parents live at their house when they're older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Sophia volunteered to have mom or dad.
I agree.
I'll be dead.
In the clear.
I don't know. Well, I mean, and hire maybe like a caretaker once they're very old and need that type of medical assistance, but...
Change my diaper.
Sorry, no.
We're calling someone.
But I don't know. I feel like that could. I don't know if it would help with keeping things familiar. Mm-hmm.
But like mom said, also if you have family or extended family, not just your puzzle group, to have somebody that you have a connection with, will always make that loneliness go away.
I also in a lot of cultures you care for your elderly, and they do live with your family.
Yes,
once.
You're right.
It's just us as Americans, we take our old people and shove them in the old folks' home, and then a lot of times forget about them.
It's like you raised me, but now it's my time to...
If you look at an Asian culture, they are taking care of their elders. Oh, yeah. A lot of times their elders live with them, and they're really good about that. Our culture as Americans, we're not good about that.
No, I agree.
I would agree with that. And I've seen that at the airport, too, where the, you know, the Hmong families that, and they live forever, too. So, yeah, you know, yeah. It might be the 95-year-old Hmong grandma that can't walk or speak a lick of English, but they're all still, they got four or five people doting over her.
Yeah, so they respect her.
Can you teach us any Hmong, Dad?
Matthew, no.
Gaman means thank you.
He's been walking around the house saying that all morning.
I didn't even know that.
Yes, yeah. It's bad.
He literally thinks he's like fluent.
Total fluency. I'm adding French, Russian, little Polish, and now Hmong to my.
Oh my God.
Russian.
All right. Well, I have a question for Mom and Dad.
Oh no, that's a scary.
Yeah.
It is kind of scary.
I'm
not guaranteeing an answer.
Okay. Well, it is. What has been your most difficult parent moment? Like, what's been like your hardest like moments where you're like, I don't know, difficult when you're a parent?
As the owner of a dog, when he poops inside the house.
Difficult parent moment.
Yeah.
Wow, is that ever a difficult question?
Yeah. I mean, it's personal for people.
I can't think of a specific event. But any time that we had to, you know, ground you or punish any of the kids.
Whoa. When was the time you grounded one of us?
Or said no, you can't go, or well, that's happened. Anytime you were disciplined.
Yeah.
Was difficult because in the back of your mind you didn't want to do it. You either were warned and you did it anyway, or for some reason you crossed whatever line it would be. And to say you can't go to your friend's house as a result of you, whatever, saying something or doing something was always difficult because you never wanted to be mean to your kids. You always wanted your kids to be happy and have fun and get to do all the social events that they wanted to do.
Right.
And whenever we couldn't do that, it was never with, ha-ha, we got them. It was always like, damn, why did they do that? So I had to do this as a result of that. And then the guilt is just...
I would say for me, it's more been focused on if there was a health issue. Like, you know, Gabe when he drank the tiki oil or the surgeries or... Sophia's concussion senior year.
None of that applies to me.
That's all fake stuff concussion. That it's kind of out of our control.
Yes.
And you're not 100% sure what you're doing.
Right.
And it can be scary as a parent because you're the one in charge. You're supposed to know what you're doing.
And this is funny because I was going to ask you a question of how do you know. I'm not pregnant or anything. I feel like it's like I'm trying to get like information about like.
Turn the mics off.
Why would you say that?
Well, because I'm just saying.
Hey now,
everyone's looking at me because I'm just trying to get like parenting things.
Talking.
But because I was wondering about, I don't know. I just feel like, how do you know how to parent? Because there's no. Did you guys read books or something?
I'm going to be a terrible parent.
Yes. Trust your mom's gut.
No, I did the ECFE classes, which I would think should be a law.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Parents today need to educate themselves when they have children and
especially,
learn how to parent.
Yes, there are.
I think that's a huge fault, and that's probably part of what's wrong with our education system and our schools. There's nothing wrong with the schools. They've got the tools. They've got the educated teachers. The problem is they have no support at home for these kids. And the kids at home, they don't know. The parents, I mean, don't know how to be parents.
Yeah.
Yes, you're correct. You can see that in all sorts, whether you're at the mall, whether you're out in public, you can tell who does not have any parenting skills because of the way they might grab that... come on, Fred, we're coming, you're going this way, and grabbing the arm, and just no verbal skills.
You see it all the time. So I think that, yes, it's your job as a parent to educate yourself.
Yeah.
And go with your gut. If your gut says, something's not right here, I need to go talk to, again, the way we have lived our life or raised you guys is, you pretty much can do almost anything until you lose the benefit of the doubt. Once you lose the benefit of the doubt, we have to guide you, not because we're trying to punish you, but get you on the right track. If you're coming in at 2 a.m., we're going to say, you can't do that anymore. You got to come home at a decent time, or we need to know where you are, or, you know, none of you guys are smokers. I'm pretty sure when you turned 21, that was your first drink. And you haven't tasted it yet, Sophia, so that's good, right?
Yeah.
So it's just going with your gut, and we've been very lucky because you can have a whole bunch of money and you can have zero money and it doesn't matter. There's kids that just get off track, and when you have friends that do that, your heart goes out to those parents. You want to say, you can't say anything, but you want to just go, I wish I could help you.
Because essentially you're kind of winging it. I know I can't say that word.
Yeah,
but
I love how you say winning it.
Winning it. Are you winning? Winging
it's
it. Are you there's winning no, that parenting?
Yeah, there is no book chapter, but go with your mom's gut. She's pretty good at, and she can't be fooled.
I'm glad because
what are you hiding,
when
Matthew?
My kids do something bad, I'm just going to give them to mom and dad, and it's like, okay. It sucks to suck.
Just give them
attaboy.
An orange. Boy.
Give them an orange.
Yes.
Yeah, Matt won't need any of that.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
You weren't looking for a
Thank
specific
you.
Event.
Yeah.
When you
no.
were cutting Gabe's arm off
no,
and we
I
caught
just
you.
No, I wanted a general like that.
Okay.
Cutting my arm off.
Yeah, when he was a baby.
Should have done it.
All right. Well, mine sort of has to do with bad parenting. An electric sign, so, you know, there's signs that when there's construction saying, like, road closed
yes.
or don't go this way, go that way.
Mm-hmm.
An electric sign in Kentucky captured the attention of drivers when it had a request to send nudes.
Oh, what?
What?
Okay.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet confirmed the sign at the side of the Kentucky Route 92 in Whiteley County was hacked. So someone went over.
Sweet.
And they stopped their car on the side of the road, and they just have a password that you can put the password in, and then you can change the sign to whatever you want. So they changed the sign to send nudes.
That is so
That's
funny.
Hilarious.
Hack, I think.
What?
I think they're fairly easy to hack.
Yeah, they said that. It's just a simple password, so you figure out the password. It's not.
Yeah.
What a way to go through life, though, wasting your time trying to hack into the password.
How do you figure out a password?
It's you'd hack it.
Run a program that figures it out.
Hmm. Right. It's not you just going, maybe it's tree. No,
yeah.
Maybe
that's
it's house.
That's
what
I thought. Me too. Yeah, I'm like, how do you just randomly decide this is what I'm going to try?
You'll run a program that'll run like millions of combinations, and eventually you'll get it.
Are you speaking from experience here?
No, I've never done it. I just can't be exposed to someone doing it to me.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yes.
All right. Well, I've got just kind of a fun thing. I know, Matthew, you and Brannick do a thing where you pick a word that you're unfamiliar with and try and use it during the day.
Dorks.
Word of the week.
Yeah, I think that's really fun. So this is kind of a list of some of the best words ever.
Hmm.
And the challenge is to see if you can use two or three in a sentence. But they're all kind of fun words, I think. Bamboozled.
I
think they're all kind of old.
Yeah,
old
wasn't it Richard Hatch?
Words, too.
Wait, what do we have to do with that now?
Use it in a sentence.
You are bamboozling
like
me with
in
what
your
you're
life.
Saying right now.
Discombobulated.
I am very discombobulated
oh,
with what you're saying. What?
You have to use it in like real life.
That is a real life. Like I'm discombobulated with what mom's trying to do.
Cattywampus.
I don't know what that is.
I don't even know what that is.
Some of them are.
Any bunkport.
Yeah, right. Malarkey.
You're full of malarkey with that Viking game yesterday, saying they were great.
Brouhaha.
Brouhaha.
Sophia,
that's
I can see you
that's
like
a
that
real
one.
Word.
Brouhaha.
All those people together having some fun was a total brouhaha.
Brouhaha.
Skedaddle.
Skedaddle, skedoodle.
That used to be a popular word. I
guess.
I've used
that.
That's what we do. We all skedaddle before we leave home for the podcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
Miss Ann.
Doohickey.
That's a little doohickey you got there.
After smoking on the couch, I had dual hickeys.
You're disgusting.
If you're persnickety, you might not have a doohickey.
What?
Persnickety. What? Oh, Matthew likes this one. What not?
What not?
Or what not?
That's a Matthew
you
phrase.
You use that all the time.
Every other sentence is or what not.
He does use that.
Gobsmacked.
Never heard of that.
I've been gobsmacked.
Gobsmacked.
Okay, this is a hard one. Flibbertigibbet. Flibbertigibbet.
Flibbertigibbet?
That sounds Irish.
Flibbertigibbet.
Is this,
oh, yeah,
this English?
Is this allowed?
What, is this allowed?
This one I've never heard of. Tenterhooks.
Nope.
Tenterhooks, I've never heard of that.
Puppycock.
Ooh, oh, what? We've got some of that at home.
Ew. Okay. Ew.
A whippersnapper.
Hey, young whippersnapper.
This is getting weird.
Yeah.
But you're like, I'm confused.
Are you flabbergasted?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I love that
I think
word.
You are.
I'm flabbergasted.
Shenanigans. You guys, McLaren likes shenanigans.
She always
I
is like
love
that.
Shenanigans. Yes.
Stop your shenanigans.
Yes. Lollygag.
I yeah, have heard of gag. That.
Do you know what a whippersnapper is?
It's no. a young kid.
A young and inexperienced person considered to be presumptuous or overconfident. So that's Sophia.
A whippersnapper.
Yeah.
I said lollygag. Kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle. Yeah,
kerfuffle.
Quite a kerfuffle. Huh.
Nincompoop.
You know, nincompoop.
A gushes gloop.
Great really
big greedy
nincompoop.
Come on, they cry.
Pumpernickel.
The timer's right. Where's it shooting up the pipe?
Come, my right. children.
Okay.
All right, girls.
That was the remake.
Gushes gloop.
Thingamajig.
I use that.
Why do people...
They're almost done.
Endless list.
Matthew's like, shut up.
Wait.
Hey, don't say shut up. That's not clever.
That's a hell of a thing to say today.
I hope Grandpa's listening.
What's
I'm
it?
I'm going to make Grandpa listen to this podcast.
What's it?
What's it?
What's it?
What's it all about?
It's one word.
What's it to you?
What's
That's
it
right, Gabe.
What's it all about,
Alfie? Whatchamacallit.
That's a whatchamacallit. I use that.
It's a great name for a candy bar.
No, it's
Flummoxed.
No.
Flummoxed?
Flummoxed?
Yeah.
Flummoxed?
I don't know that
Sounds
one.
Like you're something, a part of your esophagus.
This can be a problem sometime. Dingleberry.
Ew, Mom.
What the heck, Mom? Ew.
You need a little more, you got to hide your dingleberry over
why
there.
Is that why is that a problem?
Next one.
Google it.
Gobbledygook.
Mom. Oh.
All right. Well, this
you
is,
are such a
dingle. What are these again? Top phrases of...
Canoodle.
Okay, who's next?
Yeah.
She's going what off her rocker.
Everyone's like exiting off of this podcast right now.
Oh, do you want to know... My
oh my gosh!
Our word last week for word of the week.
The dogs have that issue. Yes, Matthew, I would love to know that.
Last week we had the word svelte. S V E L T E.
Very yeah, svelte.
Svelte. What, Matt?
It means slender and elegant.
It means what?
Slender and elegant.
Yes, yeah, very svelte.
She is very svelte. That's like me.
Why are you looking at me so surprised?
Do you want to know what? In my tutoring, that's a French word.
Yes.
And I was doing that with my client, and we had to look it up because I'd never heard it before.
Oh, I can really? Translate
yes.
it. I can translate it.
No, Dad.
Svelte.
This is the Mandela
no,
effect,
Matt,
I
you
believe.
Say it very weird.
No, I don't. I'm fluent in French.
You pronounce
svelte.
It.
Svelte.
You're not fluent in French.
Svelte.
You're not fluent, Dad.
Je suis le meilleur. Oui.
Ferme la bouche.
Ferme la gauche.
All right, I do have an article.
That's All a right. hell of a
he
thing
does?
To say to your daughter.
Wait, I'm not done with my
no,
list.
No.
You want the translation?
Sorry.
She said, close your mouth. I said, shut up.
Yeah. All right, Matthew, please take us away.
All right, this is just a quick thing. I don't know if anyone had seen this. It actually came out a couple weeks ago. So there's the new Top Gun movie coming out.
Yeah.
Top Gun Maverick. Mm. And Paramount Pictures released a video of... some of the filming they've been doing, and in the movie they're using all real planes. So when the actors are in a scene where they're in a plane, they're all of the scenes are shot with them flying in a real fighter jet.
I did cool. see that.
Really?
I think I saw an interview with Tom Cruise and he said that.
Yeah, he's so all of their like facial expressions and everything, it's all very real because they're actually like experiencing like their face gets pulled all
the
over
G-force.
The force and whatnot.
What
so this article says The makers of Top Gun Maverick have released a new video showing how the amazing flying footage was taken. What's amazing is in that in the age of computer-generated special effects, nearly all of the airplane flying in the upcoming sequel is real, except for one scene.
Wow.
The video released by Paramount Pictures shows how the U.S. Navy cooperated with filmmakers for the sequel of the iconic 1986 film. Not only did the Navy allow Tom Cruise and company to film on the aircraft carriers, the USS Theodore Roosevelt and USS Abraham Lincoln, they also flew FA-18E and FA-18F Super Hornets for the movie.
Why do you think
IMAX quality cameras in the cockpit? And let's see, this is how the film captures the illusion of Tom Cruise and other stars in the film actually flying the plane. The actors are actually in the plane. They're just sitting in the back seat while the real pilot is in the plane.
I did see that.
And why do you think the Navy did that?
Publicity.
Because they just got brand new airplanes, and they're probably like, oh, okay, it doesn't really matter what you do to these.
Recruiting. Every gal, too, but every guy that wants to be like Tom Cruise is going to go, I want to join the Navy.
I got a hot take question. Yep. A hot take question means, like, for those of you that don't know, like, this could be controversial. I'm going to ask it.
Oh, no.
Hot take.
Where did we do that last?
Tom Cruise is still sexy.
Yeah, he's not hard on the eyes.
Only while playing volleyball.
But it's so hard to get over
Put all his weird stuff aside. Hot take, Tom Cruise is still
sexy. All I've got to say.
Yeah, if you like men who are 5'4".
All I've got to say.
She does like short guys.
So do you.
Mom, you're always talking to McLaren about how, like, oh, it doesn't matter what this person believes, like, and now you're like,
I can't get behind any Scientology stuff.
Scientology is for the
I don't support
birds.
Scientology.
I cannot
but
get behind that. Their beliefs are very messed up. I have a hard time with that. But that being said, I am seeing that movie.
Yeah, because Tom Cruise is sexy.
Mom just wants to watch him play volleyball again.
I feel like watching planes in a movie theater, you would be like, oh,
she
I'm
would be
so
thinking,
sick now.
Tom Cruise, I can
At
handle
the
it.
Time, I had to close my eyes.
Yes.
Matthew.
Yes.
What?
Did they say anything? Like, did it take Tom Cruise a while to get, like, used to being in that? Because they are reckless, and, like, did he get sick at all?
No, he's a Scientologist.
Yeah. Mom. They throw up all the time.
You guys, I asked Matthew a question. Please let him answer. Thank you.
Tourette's.
In the video, they do show them the actors like feeling sick. I don't think anybody throws up in it. But,
oh my gosh!
I mean, the amount of they're getting just absolutely wrecked up there, getting pulled around.
Yeah, because
it's funny.
And you know
I would
those
hate that.
You know those pilots are doing it on purpose too when they first went up to go. Let's show these guys.
I watched I think it was a Top Gear with Richard Hammond, and he put on a U.S. You know how they have like the suits and everything, and they have the helmets.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times when you first put on the helmet and everything, it messes with your head so much because it's like you look around and it's like a display that people get extremely sick in them, and it's like 50 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
And it was super funny because he like fainted.
I can't do that.
You have a big chair that you put you in.
The movie looks super cool. And this video, you can find it on YouTube. Just look up Top Gun Maverick. And I think it's called like real flying footage or something like that. But it was very interesting to watch. I think it'll make the movie more fun to actually see.
Yeah.
Who's the female lead?
I have no idea.
Okay. It was not Kelly LeBrock, the gal from Witness. It was Kelly.
It's Tom Cruise. Let's see. Val Kilmer, I don't know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
Miles Teller. Jennifer Connelly. She plays single mother.
Okay. Val Kilmer played Iceman.
No one knows who that is.
Yeah,
in
the original Top Gun.
Iceman's a boy.
No. I've seen it, but I couldn't even.
Okay.
Iceman's a guy.
Val Kilmer also was one of the bad guys in Batman.
Oh, I thought you said girl.
Is there a female lead?
I'm looking it up right now.
In Top Gun, the teacher's female.
I'm looking at cast, and Jennifer Connelly plays single mother. Monica Barbaro plays pilot trainee number 2.
Hmm.
I don't see anybody that's...
The original came out in 1986, And it was Kelly McGillis. That's who it was.
Oh, that's right. I loved her hair.
Anthony Edwards. Well, that was really a great cast. Anthony Edwards was Goose. Tom Skerritt was Viper. It was really.
And everybody wanted that jacket.
Meg Ryan. Oh, yeah. Everybody wanted that jacket. Yes. And then every guy thought he could go play volleyball and look like Val Kilmer and Tom Cruise and all those guys out there. Slider.
All right. That's all we got.
You stink.
I have one more thing. I don't know if anybody happened to see this, but
no.
In the Canadian Family Feud, okay?
Yep.
They're going up to do, I don't know, I don't watch enough.
I'm thinking the
game show?
No, but I'm thinking Trudeau's or something like that. I'm like, they've like got the first, a fight going too?
The first family of Canada.
I'm talking about like.
Canadian Steve Harvey.
Yes, okay, thank you. Gotcha. The game show Family Feud. When they go up to do the question to see like who's going to get it or whatever, the both teams with the buzzer, I don't know what it's called.
Fast money?
Yes.
Fast money.
No.
It doesn't matter.
Just when they
the
start.
Lead. The lead.
Let me talk. Okay. Go. One person from each team, they both have their buzzer in front of them. Whoever hits the buzzer first gets to answer up on the screen.
Yes, we know what it is.
Okay. It wasn't fast money. So it's a girl, a blonde girl, and a man.
Okay.
The announcer guy says, name Popeye's favorite food. She slams the buzzer. I think even before he finished. And she yells, chicken. And she's like, chicken. I got this.
Good answer. Good answer.
He's like, chicken. Nope. And the guy goes, spinach. Yep.
Why?
Because she was thinking the chicken. Popeye's chicken.
Popeye the Sailor Man.
But it was Popeye the Sailor Man.
I would have thought
and
the same
you guys,
thing.
She thought, just it's a short clip, chicken. But she thought she had it in the bag. And she's like, chicken. And then after he said spinach, she's like, oh my gosh, I thought it was the chicken place. It was really funny.
Family
funny.
Feud has provided That's so many great funny. Audio. There's another one with Steve Harvey where they say, name some. A name that starts with an H, and the lady buzzes in and says, Jose.
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 Yes.
I love that.
Not like Henry or something.
Right,
it's like
right.
Jose.
It's pretty good. All right, who's next?
We all went already? That's a wrap, Jack.
Gabe, how are we on for time?
We are at 55 minutes and 44 Lord. Seconds.
Giving you guys an hour of wonderful audio pleasure. Pretty darn close
to,
We
get
to,
to bring
huh?
Gabe to school on a Sunday now.
He
did this podcast sitting here in his uniform. He's going to go sell his school to all the new prospects who will come to look today. So good
Welcome
luck with
to
that
the
game.
Academy. Yep.
Thank you.
Aye,
I'm
going to
go hang out outside in my shorts and t-shirt.
Oh,
and don't drop Matthew.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I don't know. We're going to go for a walk, I think.
How romantic.
Yeah, yeah. That's romance. Holding hands in the north end.
You and Brannick?
Yes.
All right. Hey, and tell me, after at 7:30 Tavern, when did the crowd really just, when was the sale out of the crowd there? Because I saw you guys doing Skol. It looked very festive. And then.
We did one last Skol chant with about, I don't know, 10 seconds left in the game, just as a closeout. Everyone was in pretty good spirits. You went into the game knowing that the 49ers were a superior football team.
By far.
Take some mistakes for us to be able to win it. So it was fun, very fun atmosphere. Everybody was very into it. But the vibe was somber.
And now you all have scoliosis.
Yes.
Oh, scoliosis.
That's Sophia's joke. I can't take credit for that one.
One of the best cartoons I saw on, or responses I saw on Twitter was Lucy, Charlie Brown in the air after Lucy pulled the football away. And the quote was, GD Viking fans, they did it to us again.
Yep.
Okay, that was it. I was just one.
And that's
one
a wrap, that looks like.
All right, Matthew, enjoy your warm weather. Thing. I wish we would have gotten that about 3 or 4 days ago, but have fun. We'll talk to you later.
All right, sounds good.
All right, love you. Bye. All right. Mateo. No esta. Skol for next year. Start Skol.
Skol. 2020, baby. Skol. This is your year, Vikes. Skol. We Vike that.
Do we root for the Packers now?
Sophia.
Do we root for the Packers now?
I feel bad for you, Sophia. No, yeah, I want the Seahawks.
I never root for the Packers.
Yeah, McLaren, you like
Seahawks.
That.
I'm Jose. Seahawks. I like the colors of their uniform.
You like that, McLaren?
Funny.
Sophia. Word. All right, we'll catch you next time. We are all over social media. I mean, this is crazy where we are. The podcast fam, just Google Table Talk and find out how to drop us a line. We're on all sorts of different social media.
People are stopping us in the streets.
Streets. I mean, hey.
Asking for pictures, autographs, and
putting us in these igloos. You know, hey, if here's your fine dining experience.
To the point where I'm at Target, and it's like, I hope no one recognizes me because I'm famous.
Joe Maurer keeps calling me. I mean, Joe, lay off.
We're ending this now. I'll be cutting you all off.
What, do you got a date? Hey.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.